Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. How's everybody doing today? We thank God for another day to share His word with you. And we're still talking about what kind of future are you going to have in 2015? It'll be the biggest year of your life if you do these things. One big area that people have a hard time about forgetting the past and pressing on to the future is forgiveness. And so many times is forgiving oneself of things you didn't get done last year, for example. Not even thinking about things that you carry from way in the past. Folks, think about something. Faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. It will throw everything out of sync when you refuse to forgive yourself. Now, you know, like Peter, you know, he denied Jesus three times. Then he went out and wept bitterly, but he came back to Jesus. Where Judas said, I betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what's that to us? He went out there and killed himself. They always run to God, never run away from Him. You follow that back from the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned and God, they heard God, they hid themselves. And see, that's the thing with us. The devil always wants us to hide instead of confess. When you acknowledge that God has forgiven you, then you get set free. Amen? Now, let's go over to the book of Mark. You know, we always try to give you scriptures. Well, we don't try. We just go ahead and do it. That's where your foundation is. I was talking to somebody today, and they had run into somebody, and they talking all kind of foolish stuff. And I said, you know, with the devil, they always trying to work through your five physical senses. What you feel, taste, touch, hear, you know, but it is written, will always anchor your soul. And we started verse 22, and Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Really just have the faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever said. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have ought against any, that your heavenly Father may also forgive you your trespasses. It's like you have that power in you. The power to forgive is in you, just like the power to bless somebody, the power to be healed, the power to prosper. All that is in you. Bible says, greater is he that's in you that's in the world. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's why you can forgive somebody and forgive yourself. And most of the time we get caught up in how we feel. It has nothing to do with how you feel. Don't let your feelings overrun you. Feelings are a good thing. But when they are out of sync, they have dominion over you. And they were never supposed to have dominion over you in your life. Because feelings will change in a moment of time. You know, like, you know, with young people, you know, I love that person, I hate them. In a moment of time, I feel like going to this place, I don't feel like going to this. Everything is dictated by fear. But we're a believer, we swear to our own hurt and change not. Like Jesus going to the cross, he set his face like he would not be moved. You swear to your own hurt and change not. Your words have to mean something for you to stay on course. Like, faith is an anchor to your soul. It says, your life has to be in harmony. It cannot be in disarray. It can't be topsy-turvy. Now, let's go over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Because whenever you look in the Word of God, it's good for you. Gives you a message, and then you're feeling condemned, that's is not from God. Because for a believer, there is no condemnation for them in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. And for an unbeliever, the condemnation is if you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life. It's not about where you committed adultery, you lied, you cheated. It's all those things get settled in your life if you make Jesus the Lord of your life. Amen? And verse 17 says, Wherefore be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You have to understand what God's will is. Where you find out his will is in his word. And be not drunk with wine where there's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak to yourselves in psalms and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God. And the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. For as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, cleansing it with the washing of the water by the word, that he may present to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes even as the Father of the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you particularly so love his wife, even as himself, as a wife see that she reverence her husband. And you may say, what in that world has that got to do with forgiveness? Well, if you ask anybody in marriage, they have to forgive one another. Because you two people who are opposite each other. Well, I do things this way. No, I do things this way. You know, the heat, you know, one wants it hotter, one wants it cold, air conditioning, you know, all these different things that the devil can use if you're not wise. You know, simple little thing. You have the toilet paper upside down, the toilet paper upside, you know, you pull it from the top or you pull it from the bottom. You know, you put both socks on first, or you put a sock and a shoe. I remember I used to tease my wife about that. And whatever she would say, I would say the opposite. You know, she said, if I put on both socks, no, that's wrong. You got to put your one sock on and then the shoe. And well, my wife is a wise woman. She said, well, what difference does it make? I'm putting stuff on, you know. Praise the Lord. So that trick didn't work, you know. And the devil will set you up. You got to have it your way. It's God's way. Amen? You let go of all strife and bitterness. Why? You need God on living on the inside to be able to do that. The power to forgive is in you. See, God never requires us to do something that he doesn't give us the ability to do. Okay? We go over 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the third verse. Well, I'm going to verse it. More, brethren, you should be ignorant. But how our fathers were under the clouds and were passed through the sea, all were baptized in the Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all the same spiritual meat, and did eat all the same drink, and drank the spiritual rock to follow them, and that rock was Christ. But many of them, God was not with them, for they were overcome in the wilderness. Okay? Now, these things are our example to intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters and woke some of them, and it was written that people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let tempt Christ, as some of them also were destroyed by serpents. Neither murmur, as you some of them also murmured and were destroyed from the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for an example that is written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world has come. It says, there is no temptation as common man, that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted if you are able, but with the temptation provide a way of escape. He will provide a way of escape. That he will provide a way of escape. Why? Because he's given you the power. He is giving you the power. Now I'm going to go back over to chapter 3. Now see, this is the thing for 2015, you got to grow up. You can't look at things as being a child any longer. It says, and I, brother, I speak unto you in the spiritual, but under calm, even as babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with meat. But hereunto you are not able to bear it, neither now are you able. For you are yet carnal, for where there is among you envy, strife, and division, are you not carnal and walk as mere men? See, you're beyond being a mere man. You just don't know it. And see, that's the thing about the art of forgiveness. See, when you think about it, folks, always kept on talking about, you know, the parables that, you know, the guys owed the king a lot of money and he didn't have any way to pay it back. And, you know, he's going to throw him in jail. His family. And he said, oh, master, you know, have mercy on me. And he felt compassion on the servant. And he forgave him of the debt. Right? So that servant, he went out and found another guy that owed him. You know, he owed the king $1 million and the guy owed him 10 cents. And he grabbed the guy in his collar. So that tell you where the story is going. He said, pay me what you owe. He said, you know, please have mercy on me. I'll pay you. He would not, and he threw the man in jail. And the other servants went back and told the king what happened. He brought him back. He said, did not I forgive you of the debt? Why couldn't you have forgiven your fellow servant? You know, and he had thrown to jail because he'd already forgiven the debt because of his hardness of his unforgiveness put him in jeopardy. Because, you know, the Lord will remind you of that. I mean, he's reminded me that. You want to take somebody's account? Well, what about your account? I plead the blood. They don't owe me anything, Lord. See, it should straighten you up quick that how much God has forgiven us. You know, there's nothing. Because you hear people say, you don't know what that person has done to me, but I know what Jesus has done for you. And it way outweighs anything anybody has ever done. He took the sin of the whole world on himself. All how it started off with what Adam did. And like I say, you go back and look in the book of Genesis, you don't see where God said, I can't believe you did this. I gave you this woman, and you done this to me. I can't believe, you know. And you never will. Because if anybody he was going to do that to would have been Adam. People even preach that thing, you know, you the worst sin on the face of the planet. No, you can't be. Because if Adam had never sinned, we wouldn't be in this predicament needing a savior. Yeah, folks, you don't realize something? That Adam would still be on the planet if he hadn't sinned. He told me it's a different message, but he would didn't have to go. God came to him. He had a body. Hallelujah. That's a different message. We won't go there today. We have to learn to be cleansed ourselves. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And this is Paul talking about, receive us, we have wronged no man, have corrupted no man, we have defrauded no man. And I remember hearing a minister say, he read the Bible, say he caught this man in a lie. See, because like you go over the book of Acts and said, you know, he's telling the Lord, you know, Lord, you know, I'm one of those, was holding the guy's coat to stone Stephen. I gave, you know, gave allegiance to them to kill Stephen. But see, he made Jesus the Lord of life, and his past was wiped out. Why? Because Jesus had paid the price for what he did against Stephen. Hallelujah, folks! You got to get that. That God so loved you. That's why we say, go back and listen to the series we did. You know, God loves me. He loves you as much as he loves Jesus, and he paid the price for everything all of us have done. To have it, to get right standing with God. Now, we'll go over to 1 John 1, 9. See, God don't want you out, he wants you in. Hallelujah, right? He wants you in, not out. 1 John 1, 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me read first. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in it. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And on chapter 2, my little children, these things I've written unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sin, not on ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. Not just for us, but the sins of the whole world. And this is something I was telling you today. And people come with all kind of different things. You've been believing long, you know, you're going to hear a lot of crazy stories. How are you going to get to heaven? You know, and it's like heaven for believers already made. See, a lot of people, you know, it's like I see air in your jaws now for me saying that. But we have a Jewish friend in the ministry, and was asking her one day, well, how do Jews deal with their sin? Because she's a Messianic Jew, believes that Jesus is the Messiah. She said, I don't know. I guess they give money. And why, you know, you think about that. How are you going to get to heaven? And see, most people I've heard in the United States, this is their testimony, how they're going to get to heaven. You know, they haven't killed anybody, they haven't murdered anybody, they haven't raped anybody, they haven't stolen anything. They've been a good husband, a good wife. They raised their kids. They got grandchildren, and they give money. That's typical. You know, I'm better than the next person. You know, and say, what's so great about being the best sinner in hell? See, a lot of people can qualify for that, and they hate God's guts. You think they're gonna get to heaven? Think about some folks. If we have been born into sin. Not just the act. The reason why you can do the act is because you have the nature. You have the nature that you got from Adam. And let's say that you lived up on a hill and nobody else is around and you never sinned. Apart from the mercy of God, that's in your heart, and you go tell God, well, God, why I should be here? I've lived up in the mountain by myself, never bothered anybody. You know? But the question is, it's your nature. See, if you had a dog, and dogs usually bark, right? But the dog has got teeth, and dogs can bite. If the dog never bit anybody, or if the dog never barked, would it still change? It wasn't a dog. Still be a dog. Whether it bit anybody or barked or anything, it would still be a dog. So how do you make a sinner a non-sinner if he never sins? He's born a sinner. He doesn't have to sin to be a sinner. Just like your name starts with an A. You don't have to do good or bad. You're still an A. You'll never be a B unless you marry a B. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. See, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God had to sacrifice some animals for them. And so that's how they got the skins on them. He didn't get them from some farrier. They didn't have no custom coats. Well, God made it customized for them. But you know what I'm saying. And the blood covered them. No different is in the book of Exodus that put the blood over the doorpost, that the death angel may pass over you. Now you think about something, folks. From that time, Passover, when the death angel passed over them, and they got into the wilderness, and they started goofing off and doing all kind of crazy things. You mean to tell me there were no sinners in those houses? All of them were in sin. Like I said, they couldn't get out of it. First thing they started doing is making an idol. Huh? And you don't have no other God before me. But you could have been an Egyptian in that door, and you wouldn't have died. Why? Because of the blood. Not because of you, because of the blood. Everything has to do with God and the blood. So people come up with all kind of goofy things. Why are they going to get to heaven on their card? And see, and it's crept into the church. Well, you know, I got to be pleasing God, because if I know he's going to be mad at me, that's why I go to church. That's why I pray. That's why I give money. What would you do if you didn't have none of that? See, because the thief on the right, on Jesus, on the cross, he didn't have anything. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't go anywhere. He just said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Actually, he said, Lord, remember me when you come into. He's Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'll tell you today, you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't say, well, you could go with me, but they're not going to baptize you. You could go with me, that you ain't gave no money. You could go with me, but see, you're a thief. No, that wasn't the answer Jesus gave him. All on Jesus' coin. All on Jesus' account. Because our account is bankrupt. It's empty. And let's say you needed $100 to get into heaven, and you don't have anything. And people, they would die, a parent would die for a child. Spouse would die for a spouse. That's an animal. But you can't get somebody bored out of hell for that. Because you got to be pure sacrifice. Just like when they examined Jesus, they found nothing wrong with him. A pure sacrifice. So that's why he had to be born here in this planet. You couldn't take anything from this planet because it was all contaminated. Hallelujah. See, folks, God makes things simple. We're the ones that mess stuff up. Because everybody in the same trap, so how are you going to get out the trap? How are you going to get out the trap to get to heaven? You hear people say, well, there's many ways to get to heaven. Well, is there many ways to open your car door? Think about it, folks. Don't let somebody con you. Don't let them school. Don't let them fool you. Let me school you. There's only one way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, "No man comes unto the Father but by me." Well, that's your decision. Do you believe what he said? Because a lot of times people say, "Well, you know, I love Jesus," and don't believe what he says. Well, I see our time is going out for the day, and like always, we give you an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You'd like to be born again and receive God's free gift of salvation by making Jesus your Lord and Savior? Pray this prayer with us. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. The Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord Jesus, I'm calling upon you. I declare that you are my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Lord, I thank you that you're going to work in my life, that what you've put in is going to come out in Jesus' name. Amen." Now, if you said that prayer, drop a little note off to Eagles of Prayer Ministries, P.O. Box 3024, Gaithersburg, Maryland, 20885. And we'll send you out some free study material to help you in newfound faith in Christ. Send your prayer requests, comments, questions, anything we can help you with. Now, folks, I think we'll be back tomorrow, but I may have another meeting to do. But check either way. But we'll be back the next day. God bless you. Have a great night. And remember, Jesus Christ is Lord.